Hey everyone, my name is Andrew Laubacher. Most people call me A-Lob. I'm super excited to share with you that I'm partnering with Spirit-Filled Hearts and Christ Cathedral for a night of worship for young adults. On March 21st at 7 p.m., we want every young adult from ages 18 to 35 to come out and pray and worship with us. It's an opportunity for us to pray for revival, for renewal in our young adult community. We're going to be having praise and worship, a full band, prayer ministry, the sacraments. If you're really close to God and love Jesus, this is a great opportunity just to soak in His presence, experience fellowship. If you feel far away from your faith, this is a great opportunity for you to reconnect with the local community. So we invite you to come. It's a free event March 21st at Christ Cathedral in the Free Theater. We'll see you there.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the beautiful Tower of Hope here on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And we are on Empowered by the Spirit. I thank you for listening, and we have another exciting show. And back by popular demand is my bride of, yes, 46 years, hard to believe, Marianne Greco. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, it's great to be here.
And Marianne says to me, how come I haven't been on the show for quite a while? But she has pull. And another guy that is just amazing, amazing individual and full of the Holy Spirit, Michael Amola. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Steve. It's good to be here.
Michael is vice president of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, and also one of the founders, along with Marianne Greco, my wife. You can contact me at deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org, and our website is spiritfilledhearts.org. All right, so what are we talking about today? So exciting and yet so challenging. Faith and family adversity. You haven't had any adversity, have you, Michael?
None at all.
None at all.
I mean, four kids, no problem.
And triplets.
And triplets.
Tell us about the triplets. I mean, did that come like out of the blue?
That came out of the blue. Twins run in my wife's family, and so we were thinking that we had that possibility. And lo and behold, at 11 weeks, we found out that she was carrying triplets.
Wow. Wow. And whether you have no children, obviously, you still have family challenges. But when you have children, and it's, you know, there's not too many handbooks, right, Marianne, you know, in terms of, you know, what do you do as a Catholic, as a Christian? How do you raise your children in the faith and really make that happen? But then what happens when adversity happens?
It's tough. I think if we knew if there was a handbook, we might be afraid of being a parent with some of the things that we encounter in families. But I think, you know, for me, one of the things that has been, in a sense, my handbook is to have community with other believers, with other Catholics, and to come together and share our stories, our successes, our failures, and learn from each other.
You know, I have to say up front that is one of the most important things. And I know in our parish, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine, we have a young families ministry. And if your parish does not have that, that is something that I would strongly recommend, is young families get together, but really all stages of families that get together. Because, you know, it's hard, Michael, right? I mean, it's like we didn't get a PhD in being a father or mother or being parents. And then when the whole world, of course, changes before us, in which, you know, Snapchat and, you know, all the social media stuff, you know, Facebook and this instant and the games and everything is so different for us. It's hard to know what to do.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you would say that. My children are now adults. My oldest son's 32, and the triplets will turn 30 next month. And we didn't have that social media connection when they were growing up. But Marianne hit on a really, I think, integral part of what it meant for me to be a parent. And growing up in the church with our family, because we did have that community. We had the people who we could share with, who we could be with, who we could fellowship with. And Steve, as you say, the young family ministry that we see now. I mean, I'm going through the next generation. I have three grandchildren. But when we were just starting our family at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, we connected with another family who had four kids. And we started a child care for the 9 o'clock mass that we went to, because there were all of these kids that, not that they were distracting, because Jesus wants them in his house. But we started this child's ministry daycare during mass, and those people have become lifelong friends. I mean, we've known them for over 30 years, and, you know, we build relationships with people who share our faith, and it's a tremendous bond.
So one of the things that we're saying, my brothers and sisters, is that we need to build community. You can't do it alone. You know, the devil attacks us when we're isolated. And so many times, Marianne, and I know it's really hard for men in particular to share their issues and their problems and their challenges with other men, but you know, luckily you've been in charge of a lot of different women's Bible studies and women's groups. Women have a way of sharing a little bit easier.
We tend to come out and say things as they are. But even that, there's a lot of people who are afraid of being judged because their family isn't perfect, or, you know, they have this problem. And I've come through the years to realize that there is no perfect family, that we all have shortcomings and weaknesses, and we can learn from each other. I kind of grew up growing with my family and learning from older women who had been through some of the experiences and listening to their stories. And I really gained from their wisdom.
My brothers and sisters, we are on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Michael Amola. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're talking about faith and family adversity and what happens. Now, family adversity can hit out of the blue. It hit out of the blue with us. And when my daughter was in an automobile accident, and then they discovered she had a mass in her lungs and stage 3A at the time, now stage 4 cancer, it hit with our daughter when she went through a plate glass window at 5 years of age and had 300 stitches. I know you've had challenges as it relates to substance abuse and so forth through your family, Michael. And what happens when that moment occurs? Not if it occurs, but when it occurs. Take a look at Matthew 7:24-27. It says, "Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, buffeted the house, but did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand." The litmus test, my brothers and sisters, when adversity comes to you individually, as a family, marriages, whatever it might be, is how is your house built? Is it built on Jesus? Is it built on rock? Or is it built on the world?
Yeah, and I think that God moves us in a certain way. I know when my wife and I got married, we knew that we wanted a faith-based family, faith-based marriage. And, you know, a dear friend who passed away at 99 years old just here recently, she was the mother of 7 children. And she always used to say, "Little people, little problems. Big people, big problems." And that's true. I mean, I my son and his wife, their daughter is just turning 2, and the terrible 2s are starting to come upon them. Mm-hmm. And you know, it dawns on me that in the progression of my children and our family, there's always something. IAS, as I like to say. It's always something. And you know, being able to draw on your faith and recognize that you're not out there alone, and having the ability and the insight to know that when things are not going as we would like them, to be able to call on the Lord and be able to seek His guidance in, you know, the events of our life and in our family, it's tremendous.
One of the big things that I learned was that when these problems occurred, it was like God came and I was saying, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Like when our daughter went through the plate glass window in kindergarten. And then a couple weeks later, our son had stitches, he had stitches the same day, but he kept running into things and getting the stitches. And I tried to control it all and I couldn't. And so I was praying, Lord, why is this happening? And he said to me, it was like, I love your children more than you do. Trust in me. And I had to stop trying to control every second of their lives, but trusting that God loves them and He's got His eye on them as well. And I know He can do a better job. You know, I still do my part, but I trust in Him and bring my issues to Him and begin to dialogue with the Lord on these issues and find more peace.
My brothers and sisters, it is so critical that regardless of what's going on in your life, you say yes to Jesus with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your might. That you say yes to the fact that He is standing with you, standing by your side. And certainly it's not if, again, adversity is going to happen, but it's when it happens. And when it happens, you have a choice to make. In Ignatian spirituality, that choice basically says you're either moving towards Jesus, which is consolation, or you're moving away from Jesus, which is desolation. We know, again, that all life is about perseverance, and all life is about overcoming these trials that we get. But the question comes down to the fact is, to what extent are you going to let Jesus be in the middle of it? To what extent do you turn to Jesus and say, look it, I can't handle this, but I trust in you. 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith and not by sight. We must walk by faith to know that I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know, Lord, that you're standing there with me. You're carrying me. It's that footprints, right? Mm-hmm.
And often I just say, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, but I'm looking forward to seeing how you're going to help me through this. And that gives me a new perspective is, you know, rather than just looking at the problem, I'm going to be looking for God in in working out of the problem.
And we see this, my brothers and sisters, take a look at your scripture here in 1 Peter 1:6, that we rejoice all but now for a little while, but we may have to suffer through various trials so that the genuineness of our faith is more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our faith is tested. We're tested by fire. And that fire happens just through life issues. It could be certainly under spiritual attack or whatever it might be. But it's issues, financial issues. We get fired from our job. Something happens to us physically. We have surgery. Relationship issues happen. Whatever it might be, the question is, how do we handle it? It is so critical that you turn to God, because God is the solution. Jesus is the solution. I know for me that I started going to daily mass in the middle of a business trial. You know, I thought I was going to lose all the business. I was in sales, and it looked like that I was in medical sales or pharmaceutical sales. It looked like the HMOs were going to drop me. And I went to Mass every single day, and I said, Lord, I can't do it, but give me the gift of wisdom. And when God gives you that gift of wisdom, great things happen. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Powered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk about 7 steps of overcoming adversity with faith and family.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Each school has a full spectrum of education and development in the arts. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to OCCatholic.com/travel.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are here back atop the Tower of Hope. And let your friends and family know that we are talking about a very important subject, faith and family adversity. Really, how do we get through this family adversity? How do we get through it by our faith? And the very first thing we've talked about is we must seek God with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be given to us besides. And needless to say, Michael, with triplets and four children, you have had your share of challenges like we all have. But obviously the more kids you have and having triplets and so forth is a particularly set of situations that may occur that many people don't go through, but yeah, tell us some of them.
One of the things I just had to giggle as you said that was that as we had four kids, and when the triplets were born, we had four kids under 2.5, and it never seemed that we could ever, as the children were growing up, we could ever figure out who the culprit was, because they would all just blame the other one. And so, you know, we kind of gave up on that. But you know, you were talking, Deacon, about tested by life issues. And one of the things that I reflect on is that when we were young parents and we had a young family, we knew certain strategies. And as the children grew up, so did the parents. So did my wife and I, because we learned. And I kind of think about it in the context of training, athletics. You know, you hone a skill by practicing it and working on it and working on it. And drawing back on faith, we enhanced our parental skills by being involved with the church and by being involved with learning and understanding how to deal with the children, how to share our faith with the children, you know, and what we did within our church community. And it was building blocks. And we strengthened as parents as we went through this walk within our community.
And I'd say, Art, when we've had adversity in our family and our challenges, that's when my faith has grown the most. I think if life were really simple, I would probably not have the faith that I have today. So, you know, I often think back and thank God for my family and its challenges, because that's the reason why I'm closer to God and have a stronger faith today.
Mm-hmm. So we have seven steps here. We're talking about faith and family adversity. First is seeking God with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. We see this in Matthew 5:6, that blessed are they who hunger and thirst for God, for righteousness, for then they will be satisfied. We must hunger and thirst for God. We must want God in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, without compromise. Don't ever forget in Revelation, the third chapter, in which God's talking to the church of Laodicea, in which it says, I wish you were either cold or hot, because you're neither hot or cold. I spew you out of my mouth. You know, Jesus wants all of us. He wants us to make a stand. He wants us to say yes to him without compromise. So first, seek God first. Second is control your thoughts. Wow. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, the weapons of our battle are not as flesh, but are enormously powerful, capable of destroying fortresses. We destroy arguments and every pretense raising itself against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Adversity happens and it's like, oh, what is going to possibly occur? You know, you get fired. I got fired from a job. It's like, how am I going to make the payments? How am I going to survive? I had three children. I mean, how as the only provider? How is that? And your mind just goes on and on and on and on and on. So take a look at Philippians 4:8, one of Michael's favorite, the fourth chapter of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice is the way Philippians will start. But then in 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So, Michael, you've had some real significant challenges like we all have had. The kids are in hospitals. You know, you have family setbacks or job setbacks. It's so easy to get, oh, man, you know, the sky has fallen in. The world is falling apart. You know, and how can I, as provider, how can I, you know, make a difference here? And I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But it's controlling the thoughts.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Philippians 4 is an important chapter for me. And I have the good fortune of, on one of your trips to the Holy Land, you brought me back a little desktop, a little statuette, and it has that scripture reading, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, on it. And I have it right below my monitor in my office. And, you know, when I'm met with some sort of adversity, you know, I'm always staring at that. So it reminds me. And I think that's one of the things that we have to do. We have to train ourselves to draw back to the Lord. I mean, we're in a world, and as personalities go, we draw on ourselves, and we think that we have to come up with all the solutions. And I catch myself often being at a point, and even last night I was talking to one of my daughters on the phone, and she brought up a topic that I knew I didn't want to be around. And so, you know, I was staring at that, and I thought, I don't need to respond to this right now. And that was the advice that I could give her, because as I'm looking at that little desktop statue, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this can wait. This can wait, because the Lord will somehow roll the answer out. And I, as head of a household, I don't have to come up with the answer right now. My daughter will work this out, and she will come to understand, you know, how she needs to handle it, because the Lord's going to provide the answer in time.
Amen. And it's just so critical that we understand 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
You know, one of the things, sometimes I can get overwhelmed by a problem or an issue, and then you just start thinking negatively, and what has helped me is to either go to my husband, Steve, or sometimes to a friend and call a friend and just say, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed right now, and all I'm thinking is the negative. To have a fresh person come in and say, no, it's going to be all right, or center on the Lord and find a positive in the situation. And so sometimes we need to reach out and be humble enough to admit that we're going through this difficult time to get someone else to help pull us out and control our negative thoughts.
You know, one of the most important things is to remember that God loves humility. He loves humility. Mm-hmm. And we see from the first chapter of Philippians that God humbled himself, became in the form of a slave. But every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. I mean, but he humbled himself to die on the cross for us. It's so important. Third point, first is seeking God. Second, controlling your thoughts. Third point is something, Marianne, you brought up, ask for faith. You know, people don't understand. We must want faith. We must ask for it. We must seek it. James 4:2 says, you do not possess because you do not ask. in Luke 11:9-13, it says, asking you will receive, seeking you'll find, knocking the door will be open. Where everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door will be open. And it says, if we who are wicked who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? In Ephesians 2:8, it says, faith is a gift from God and nothing we can earn. So we must seek faith.
You know, and I think it's a right to say to the Lord, I'm not feeling strong. I don't have enough faith. You know, we need to, it's okay to admit our weakness to him and then say, but help me increase my faith. And it's so important that we, it's okay to admit that.
Well, there has to be a willingness to seek more, to learn more about our faith. You know, the listening audience today, they're listening to this show because they're seeking. They're trying to improve their knowledge. They're trying to get more tools that they can put in their toolbox. Deacon talks about a toolbox often. They can put the tools in their toolbox, and they can have them, and we can use them when we meet this adversity.
And one of the most important things we can ever remember is that it's faith that moves mountains. We take a look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, it's impossible to please God without faith. And he rewards those who believe he exists. My brothers and sisters, do you believe? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he loves you? Do you believe in his mercy? As you take a look at your faith, ask yourself, what do I need to do to get more faith? How can I ask God to come into my life more often? You know, it's unfortunate that so many times people just drift into depression or anxiety. They drift into the world or substance abuse or trying just to become a workaholic or relationships. Oh, that's going to solve my pain. That's going to solve the family issues. And I get it. Believe me. I mean, I get the fact that when trials happen, you love your family so much. You love your children and you see this suffering. You see this pain. You know, often we want to escape. But instead of escaping, turn to God. Instead of escaping,
yes,
turn to the rock that is the solution.
And, you know, one of the things that occurs to me, how important it is that we realize that we need to pray for members of our family that their faith increase as well. I mean, maybe they're so hurting or they're so involved and meshed in the issue that they don't even know to turn to the Lord or to ask for faith. But we can do that. We can turn and ask God to give members of our family that extra faith or that wisdom or, you know, that they feel God's love. And so that's where the power of prayer, that we can be praying for our members of our family, even when they're going through a difficult time. We are their intercessor.
This is Deacon Steve Grecker. We're going to be right back to talk more about how we overcome the challenges of life through faith and family. This is Deacon Steve Grecker on Empowered by the Spirit.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Friday? Now, this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's Fish Taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Grecker, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit, here at beautiful Christ Cathedral Tower of Hope. Contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritFilledHearts.org. Take a look at our website, SpiritFilledHearts.org. We are here for you. And one of the most important things that we try to focus on is really understanding how much God loves us, understanding how he loves us passionately, and that nothing will separate us from the love of God, neither present things nor future things, nor height nor depth, nor angels nor principalities nor creatures. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, as shown in Romans 8. And as we understand that when adversity happens with ourselves, with our families, that it is that faith that overcomes adversity. It is a relationship with God. We've been talking about seven steps for faith and overcoming the challenges of adversity through faith. Adversity that we have with our families, with ourselves, and so forth. First, seeking God with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. Second, controlling our thoughts. Don't think negative. Get negative thoughts out of your mind. Start praising God, thanking God, feeling that, hey, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I know that God is going to help me. Third, ask for more faith. There are times that we just feel like giving up. Let's face it. Many of us do. We feel like giving up. That's the time to ask for faith even more. That's the time to go to church as often as you can. If you can go daily, so much the better. The fourth area in this whole area of faith and family adversity and really being victorious in that process is prayer and trust in God. Prayer is a foundation of everything. Trusting in God is a foundation for everything. When we pray, it is so important that we pray in faith and believing that something good is going to happen. And I think for us, you know, when I got notified by my daughter who has stage 4 cancer, and at the time they thought it entered her heart, the cancer, and she said, I don't know if I'm going to last 24 hours. And she calls me up on the phone and she's in New York, we're in California, and we get on that red eye and fly back there to see her and praying that she's alive. But through prayer, through praying the rosary, praying things like Divine Mercy Chaplet, praising God, all those things, Marianne, there was a peace that came upon us,
mm-hmm.
a peace that passes all understanding, the saying, you know what, I trust in God.
You know, and I think we have to be careful. I tend to, when I pray, especially when I wake up in the middle of the night with an issue, I start thinking of all the problems and the things that need to be solved and raising them up to the Lord in prayer. And it just gets more negative. And so God has dealt with me and said, you know, I know what the issues are. Just praise me. You know, praise me for the healing of your daughter. Praise me for the healing or the solution of this. And so, you know, it's rather than telling God all the different issues in your prayers and what needs to be done, he says, trust in me. Trust in me. And so with some of the issues I have, rather than my litany of problems that need to be solved, I'll just mention the person and say, I trust in you, Lord. And then maybe the Lord has showed me to even just pray the Our Father, but to just give it to turn it over back to him.
Michael, I think I really want you to write a book. I want you to write a book because, and I just know, I'm like the tip of the iceberg in terms of knowing things have gone on in your family. But needless to say, and you can pick any example you want, you can't control it, right?
Right.
Someone's in the hospital, you know, issues that have happened. You know, how do you bring prayer and trust into that?
Well, I think at its very core is having that faith. I mean, I've been through, you know, a number of different types of issues. As you mentioned earlier, you know, we've got drug and alcohol issues that have hit our family. And there was a period of time where we were so out of control and I couldn't see how it's going to resolve itself. You know, how does this get quote unquote fixed? Right. And, you know, I recognize in hindsight that without my faith, I don't know what I would have done, because it's like spiraling around a drain. I mean, you just feel like you're getting sucked in and you're going down and you don't have an answer. And yet God is gracious and kind because he touches me in many different ways. And I remember one time when we were having some real intense issues with my oldest son, that I was standing in the back of church with, as I said, you know, a group of friends that I have within the church community. And I had this visual, and there weren't a lot of words being spoken, but I had this visual, and I remember it vividly, of all of these people around my wife and I. And they were there for support. And it reminded me, I mean, we were obviously in a church, but it reminded me that God is drawing all of these people to me. And he is helping support my wife and I when we didn't have the answer, but there is an answer, and we have to have faith in God that he's going to provide it. And that's, for me, that's what happens. I mean, you know, Marion, you're talking about how we just kind of get out of control and we can't see through the fog, if you would.
Right.
But the reality is that, you know, I need this reminder. I need this glimmer. And at the appropriate times, the Lord comes down and says, look at these people. Look at the support that you have.
You know, and it's so true. And to get into a prayer community, get into a prayer meeting, get into a prayer community, or get into, you can group and so forth in various ways through Crescio or through other organizations, or just get some friends to come together and pray. And, you know, I know, Marianne, when mm-hmm. We were going through a challenge in our marriage, you know, to call up a friend and say, would you stand in the gap, in a sense, for us?
Right. Yeah. And I didn't, you know, you're hurting, you're in pain so much that you can't even pray. And so I'll never forget, my friend said, you know, I'll wake up at 6 a.m. every morning and pray for you. And another one said, I'll put a pebble in my shoe, and every time I feel it, I'll be praying for you. So those are the things we can do for each other as well, that we need to reach out and let them know that when we're strong and we're not having our issues, or even when we are having issues, we can still stand in and pray for other people as well. It doesn't always have to be about us, but we can pray for others.
My brothers and sisters, this is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Michael Amola. Prayer changes things. Mm-hmm. One of the most important things for us to remember is that we have a spiritual mother. The Blessed Mother is there interceding for marriages and families. I know that without a shadow of a doubt, and interceding for us. And when our three kids were teenagers, and I've said this story before, during the day I was brought to a church just because I was so much in anguish. Everything I did seemed like it was wrong. I said white. They said red. I said purple. They said green. Whatever it is, everything seemed to be wrong. And I went to the mass, or it's not mass, but just went to church and visited during the day and started praying that, Lord, I fervently pray. I don't know what to do. And the Lord came upon me and said, turn to my mother and pray the rosary every day, and pray a decade for each member of your family. So that is the message to you, my brothers and sisters. A decade for each member of your family, for your spouse, for your children. I know some of you are saying, well, I have 10 kids. You know, that's a lot of rosaries. But, you know, pray the rosary, and pray it for your family, and pray it for overcoming adversity, for wisdom and guidance. Because when you turn to the Blessed Mother, then you can be sure to one thing, that you will get answers. And, you know, we don't understand it. We don't understand how it happens and so forth. But we do know that there is this great love that obviously Jesus has bestowed upon his mother, who is part of the communion of saints, who prays for us and intercedes for us. And part of that prayer, too, is praying to guardian angels, right? To intercede for us.
Yes, I think, you know, we forget about guardian angels. We can pray that our guardian angel can protect us, and we can pray that our guardian angels protect those in our family. And we can call on God's holy angels to protect and to guide and to whisper things into their ear that might give them confidence through a difficult time. And that's a great avenue to follow down and to start praying for that for our loved ones.
You know, one of the things you talk about prayer, and I'm reminded that in the drug and alcohol world, there's something known as triggers and things that prompt you for a certain type of behavior. And I have a trigger that was given to me by a dear friend, and I carry it. It's a medallion of my guardian angel, St. Michael. And I have it with me all the time, and it's a trigger for me, because when I'm in a point of tension, pressure, whatever, slide my hand in the pocket, and I just touch this coin, and I'm reminded, St. Michael, look
Amen.
Over me.
Amen. And let St. Michael intercede for you. Let St. Padre Pio and the various saints that God puts in your mind to intercede for your family and to overcome the adversity. But without prayer, without the sacraments, and obviously the Mass, a reconciliation, absolutely critical in terms of really understanding the power of God. The fifth point is to expect and experience miracles. That really relates to the faith. When we have faith, and remember the definition of miracles is God's supernatural intervention in our lives, in our families. You know, there are times that, and I'll call it a miracle that our daughter didn't speak to us for like 7 years, and now she can't get enough of us as it relates to going to visit her and so forth. But it took God's intervention. She returned back to the Catholic Church. Her husband converted to be a Catholic apologist and really an evangelist. And, you know, that's really a miracle as far as I'm concerned.
And yes, and I think that, you know, there again, it starts with our prayer. We can start praising God and thanking him for a situation that looks, I can't find the solution to, or I just don't see, like Michael said, how we're going to get out of this or how we're going to get beyond this. And that's when I turn to God and I go, you know, I praise you. I thank you. Because I know that you are going to handle this. I don't know how. I don't know how, you know, my daughter will start speaking to me, but I believed. And the more I prayed that, the more I got the faith to believe that someday that would be a reconciled relationship, which it became. But, you know, it's that expecting.
My brothers and sisters, Deacon Steve Greco, we're on Powered by the Spirit talking about faith and family adversity. We'll be right back to talk more about the tools that you need to overcome the challenges in life. We'll be right back.
To the place called the Skull. They crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Therese. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Fried Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on Powered by the Spirit. And whoa, you know, Marianne's been crying here next to me. And
you're telling
Michael is, you know, is emoting. And, you know, we're talking about faith and family adversity. And we can certainly visualize all the challenges in life. And maybe you're just starting a family. And, you know, don't be afraid. You know, God is with you every step of the way. And we talked about these seven steps. The first thing is put God at the center of it. Seek God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength. Want to have God at the center of your family, your marriage. The second is be positive. Control your thoughts. Do not dwell on the negative, and do not be negative about your marriage, about your family. Just so important. You know, it says in Matthew, by your thoughts, you'll be acquitted. By your thoughts, you'll be condemned. I mean, the point is that your thoughts, what you say with your words, so, so critical. Ask for faith. Faith changes everything. You don't know what's going to happen, but you know that God's in charge, and ask for the faith to trust in him. Pray. Pray fervently. Pray by going to Mass daily. Pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Rosary. Very critical. I'm so convinced. We give out hundreds and hundreds of rosaries to people. We get them various places, but primarily in the Holy Land, in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem. We get them and hand them out like crazy, and that's because we want people to understand that you have a spiritual mother who is interceding for you, for your marriage, for your family. Those that are out there that are out of work, have hope. Have hope, because God is right there with you and helping you and guiding you to that great new job that you're going to get. In fact, I'm going to say right now, there's 10 people the Lord has given me that insight, that word of knowledge as seen in 1 Corinthians 12. There's 10 listeners right now that will get a new job within the next 30 days that will be the best job they ever had. Claim it. Claim it. And that relates to point number 5, which is expecting experience miracles. God is in the business of miracles. And so you may think that things will never change, but they will change. Our daughter who didn't speak to us now is not just speaking to us, but intimately involved in our lives and us with them, with her and her husband and family. There was a time that you didn't even know if you'd see your grandchildren. And now, of course, it's you see them often, even though they're on the East Coast. We are there as often as we can, or they're out here. And we have a great relationship with them.
We do. And, you know, you talk about finding a positive. One of the positives, I will say, from her having cancer is we've had to go help with the children at times when she's had treatment, and getting to know the children, our grandchildren, at a much deeper level by, you know, being with them day in and day out while she was having treatments has been a blessing. So, you know, when things look bleak, there are positives that God sends your way, and that's why I'm so touched, the love he has for us, that even in the midst of a trial, he has there's signs of love coming through.
The sixth point, and we have these 7 points of faith and family adversity and really, really winning in those times of trials, is that we need endurance. Hebrews 10:35-36, therefore do not throw away your confidence, it will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. Michael, there are so many times where endurance is needed. And, you know, there's that, like, there feels to be breaking points where, oh, this is happening again and again. But how do we get more endurance? How do we basically say, this is not about an event or a moment in time, but this is about the entire duration. You know, this is about the journey. This is about not, you know, a moment in time, but really the end point, which is really praying all of us and believing that we'll all be in heaven one day with the Lord.
Well, I have often told my kids that life is a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, when dealing with the adversities that sometimes come in a marriage, that always come in a marriage, you know, and endurance, there's the physical part. I mean, we have to take care of this temple that the Lord has given us. And so, you know, we have to be mindful of that, but we can never give up. And that, for me, is a key component of endurance, is the realization that you just don't toss up your hands when you're met with adversity and say, I'm done, I can't do it. I mean, that's not what the Lord wants us or expects us to do. He wants us to recognize that in being in a parental situation, that we have to We have to understand that we're going to have this adversity. We have to draw on Him. We have to call on Him to come down and to give us the wisdom and the insight to be able to deal with the problems. And I understand that I do not have all the answers, you know, and
that helps.
It is okay for me to say, God, I have to put this in your hands. I don't know, but I know you know, and I trust in you. Marianne, you were talking about, you know, petitions and praising. And I've come to understand that God already knows what I'm going to ask Him for.
Right.
You know, but I ask anyway, because I want to put that in front of Him. But then recognizing, ask Him, but then praise Him, because I know the solution is going to come. May not be in the timeline I want, and it may not be the solution that I specifically want, but He has that answer.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, I have three very critical points for you to remember, to absorb, to put in your hearts. Are you ready? Are you ready? Get a piece of paper or memorize this. Are you ready, my brothers and sisters? God loves you passionately, and He wants you to remember these three things. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Oh, I love to say that.
It's
so many people, they just, okay, I'm going to give up. I'm giving up on my marriage. I'm giving up on my children. I'm writing them out of the will. I'm doing all these things. I'm never going to see them again. You know, you're dead to me. I mean, all these things where people give up. Boy, the devil is just smiling when that happens.
You know, one of the things that really helps me is that when we all feel like giving up at times, but I look to the Lord Jesus and I say, He didn't give up. He did not give up on me. He did not give up on anybody. And He kept going and He suffered a lot. And it must have been discouraging sometimes when He kept saying things to the apostles or to people and they didn't get it. And even today, a lot of us don't get it, but He doesn't give up on us. He's there. So, you know, I looked and turned towards Him and I say, I'm going to be like that. I'm going to endure this because this is just a speck in time. I'm going to be with the Lord for eternity.
Take a look at Galatians 5:22 and 23, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love and joy and peace for sure, but then you have patience. And we need patience. We need patience. We need to have that endurance. Endurance is so critical. In fact, I am convinced, and this is the St. Monica thing. How many years was it? Who knows? Here's 17 years with St. Augustine and so forth. But it was a long, long, long time in which St. Augustine was off doing his worldly thing. And St. Monica kept enduring. She kept going to different people. Will you pray? Will you pray? But she endured and she became a saint. You know, and we often say sometimes our children are making us saints, right?
That's true.
The final point is all things work for good for he or she who loves the Lord and is called according to His purpose, which is Romans 8:28.
My favorite verse.
Why is that your favorite verse?
Because when I'm not understanding a situation and it seems like, you know, it couldn't be good, I turn to that verse and I go, but it will be good. Mm-hmm. I know that eventually this is going to be for my good and for the good of others. And so often, it has to be a lesson where I have to learn to grow stronger or grow in faith.
It's all about trusting in the Lord.
Yeah. We don't grow when things are too easy.
And another one of your favorite verses is 2 Thessalonians 3:3.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Don't you hate it when he does that?
The Lord is faithful. He will
strengthen
you
and
guard you from the evil one.
See, yeah.
All right. Hallelujah.
I panicked.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, the Lord is faithful to your marriage, to your family. He will strengthen you. He will guard you from the evil one. He will give you protection. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No trial has come to you but what is human, that God will give you the strength to endure those trials.
That's a good one.
He will give you this strength. He will give you a way out. God is faithful, will not let you be tried beyond your strength, but with a trial he will provide a way out so that you're able to bear it. You know, there are times that you feel like you can't bear any more. That's the time. Are you ready for this, my brothers and sisters? That is the time when the breakthrough is about to happen. When the breakthrough is about to happen is when you're ready to throw in the towel.
And never give up, as you say. I mean, we always have to draw back to that core value, the inner value that we have in trusting in the Lord. He's there. He's always there. We just have to remind ourselves.
My brothers and sisters, focus on how much God loves you. When you feel down, when you feel like giving up, just go in some corner. Go before a sunset or a sunrise. Go to some beautiful spot. Go to a spot before a crucifix or in a chapel or in the church or wherever you feel comfortable and say, Lord, I need to feel your love right now. I need to feel loved. I need to have hope. Remember Jeremiah 29:11 and following, that God is that God that promise you a future full of hope, that you need not despair. When you call upon him, he will be there. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and praise you for the gift of life, the gift of family, the gift of marriage, that when these adversities come, we know that you're there holding our hand, that you are there supporting us and guiding us and strengthening us. We surrender our hearts, our minds, our soul to you. We consecrate our marriages and our families to you. We consecrate all we have to you, Lord God. And we ask that you take over everything that we're involved in our marriage and our family and ourselves, body, soul, and spirit. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing and bless your marriages and your families and all of your loved ones in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We have been on and are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week
on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Andrew Laubacher. Most people call me A-Lob. I'm super excited to share with you that I'm partnering with Spirit-Filled Hearts and Christ Cathedral for a night of worship for young adults. On March 21st at 7 p.m., we want every young adult from ages 18 to 35 to come out and pray and worship with us. It's an opportunity for us to pray for revival, for renewal in our young adult community. We're going to be having praise and worship, a full band, prayer ministry, the sacraments. If you're really close to God and love Jesus, this is a great opportunity just to soak in his presence, experience fellowship. If you feel far away from your faith, this is a great opportunity for you to reconnect with the local community. So we invite you to come. It's a free event March 21st at Christ Cathedral in the Free Theater. We'll see you there.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.